And sometimes it's enough to walk in a partial separation from someone. Sometimes that's enough. Sometimes it's necessary to separate from them completely, but only for a certain period of time. Because down the road, they're going to get delivered or something. It's not that the thing will change. The situation changes. But there are sometimes, some situations, when family members pose such a danger to us, we have no choice but to lay those relationships on the altar. And when that's the case, there must be a complete and permanent separation. No looking back. No looking back, ever. That's what it means to lay somebody on the altar. Now, unfortunately, right now, because we are living in the last days, when the devil knows his time is short, he's coming down to earth to literally possess and take control of all these people who are not saved. All these people are playing religious games with God. You're going to find more and more that you're in a situation where your immediate family members have become so dangerous, you have no choice but to lay them on the altar. That's what's coming down to. Because of the time we're living in, and because people are playing games with God and people are unsaved, are getting taken over completely by these demonic spirits, they're becoming dangerous to God's people. And more people, more and more of your family members are going to come under this category of having to lay them on the altar. Because they're coming, becoming extremely dangerous by what they've given into, by what's overcoming them. And when that time comes, when you have to separate from like that, if you're still walking in the flesh and the first creation relationships, brother, you're going to go down with them. You are going to go down with them, just like Jonathan went down with Saul. You know, Jonathan didn't have to go down with Saul. Jonathan could have come over on David's side and risen with David amid David's right-hand man and gone to him. His whole destiny could have been different. He could have had a completely different destiny. But he repeatedly chose Saul because of his pity for him, because of his love for him. It was his father, family thing, first creation thing. It's a family thing. Don't leave your father. Don't abandon your father in his weak times and his times of trouble. And it finally set him on a course where he couldn't change it, and he had to go down with his father, his wicked father. Good Jonathan, who had the possibility, had a chance to come forth in the Davidic kingdom, had to go down with his wicked father because he wouldn't let him go. And that's what happens to people. When they don't know how to live in the second creation, they're stuck in the first creation, and all of a sudden, somebody that's close to them, it becomes an extreme danger to them. They don't have the stamina, they don't have the ability to lay them on the altar, and those people end up dragging them down and right out of the high calling, sometimes right out of salvation, entirely. So it's very important, this issue of family relationships and the difference between walking in first creation relationships and second creation relationships. There's a big difference, and God wants us to know it and embrace it as much as we can. So that was, you know, that's basically my burden. I'm pleading with anyone who can hear this message or who reads the notes off the web to do an honest search of your heart and to ask God to show you if there's any family idolatry, because the time's going to come that if it's not taken care of, your family will take you down. Your family will take you down. God will not protect you. He will not protect people who are walking in family idolatry. So the time to recognize that kind of thing and break free from it, that time is quickly passing. It's quickly running out. We're coming to the end, people. It's a tragic fact. It's a terrible fact. But that many of God's people, many, are going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth when they come and stand before God's throne and they're shown that they spent their whole lives serving a family member, serving a wife, serving a son, serving a daughter, serving a husband. And they didn't know it. They spent their whole life in idolatry and didn't know it. And whether they go to hell or that God brings them in the new world out of mercy is not necessarily the issue. They're going to miss what God had for them, I guarantee you. Nobody is going to the high calling. Nobody's going to sit on the throne with Jesus as an overcomer if you're walking in idolatry, family idolatry. Nobody. That enough is alone is to weep and gnash your teeth when you know you're called to that and realize you missed it for all eternity because you wouldn't lay down a family relationship. But my whole thing is here, well, my main burden was, don't go around saying you're laying this or that on the altar unless you're actually doing it, because laying something on the altar means you walk away from it forever. You don't look back. You know, there's a difference between separating from people and laying them on the altar. When you lay something on the altar, you give it to God. You don't ever take it back. Okay? So anyway, that was my burden for tonight. It wasn't very long. And still an issue with people. You know, Abraham had to do this thing with family his whole life. God had to keep coming back again and again and again and revisiting the issue of family till he was an old man. And even then, he did it again. So it's not something you just resolve right away. Oh, I make a commitment to Jesus and I know my flame is dead and that's it. This thing is deep, people. It's Adamic. It's deep. It's deep-rooted. It takes years to dig out of us. And sometimes you have to go around the mountain again, again, again. And God has to bring us around to test after test after test until the thing is finally rooted out. So that was my kind of my burn for the night. People are still struggling with it. And it's going to be like that way until we get the issue really dealt with and taken care of. All right? Amen. Looks like Mom has something she wants to share. No, that's okay. Well, Mom's here to share something. You guys can share after she's done. Go ahead. You can do that. If you want something to share here.
Hi, everyone. I do have something the Lord spoke to me this week, and it has to do with the messages these three guys had. They were such tremendous messages, all of them. And the Lord spoke something to my heart that I think pertains to this. It's Luke 14:16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And last week, Daniel talked about tabernacle truth starting around in the 1950s and how God sent that word to his church so it would make them strong to go through the tribulation and the things that are coming on the earth. And this is what I feel is the third meal of the day, the supper meal. And I feel that God has called a people. The people in the church wouldn't receive this message. I know from down through the years that none of the churches, none of the establishment teaches tabernacle truth, death to self, drawing nigh to God and going into the high calling and going on to perfection. That is not taught in the churches. The ones that were bidden, the ones that were to have this, refused it because of their earthly life, because of taking care of earthly matters, living in the Adamic nature, because they could not lay that down. They could not hear God's voice to walk in these truths that are going to draw them closer to him. And I know that God has gone out into the highways and hedges and the streets of the cities and is calling people to this third feast, to these third feast truths, to take them on to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there are people that just cannot answer. They just cannot walk in these truths. They aren't interested in any more truths. They're interested in their families and what's and the things of this earth, and they're content to walk in the place they're in, and they miss the voice of God to call them into this to this third supper. And he said that those people, they will not taste of my supper. They will not, those people that were bidden, will not taste for all eternity of the great and high calling he had for them. Those people that were called to walk into deeper truth with the Lord and to sit on the throne with him as he sit on the Father's throne, they will not have that in, for all eternity, because they could lay down the things of this earth, whatever it is. They had excuses, and they could not go to his supper. And he sent the Holy Spirit outside the church to call these people in, these lame and all blind. Amen. And all these people that weren't real good Christians walking in the establishment. And he sent his Holy Spirit out to call them into this supper, that God's table might be filled. And there are people who are accepting it, and I know there are people that aren't accepting it, but it's going to be so sad in that day when we find out that we could have been part of the high calling of God, that we could have been part of ruling and reigning with Christ. And most Christians think they are. They think they're going to rule and reign with Christ. They don't get into scriptures and search the truth out. They don't let the Holy Spirit make it real to them what the price is, what it takes to walk that in God. And it, for all eternity, they're going to miss out on God calling them to this third supper because they took a wife, or they had to prove their oxen, or they had to take care of their land. They had to take care of things in this world. They were too wrapped up in taking care of this world to come to God's, to the holy calling of God is given to his people to partake of this supper and to be part of his high calling. What a sad day that is going to be. And God said that they, those that were bidden, those that were in the churches, those that were in the, that had a chance, they will not partake of my supper. They will not through all eternity partake of this wonderful thing because they won't partake of my supper here. So there is a call going out, and there is a price to pay, but it's, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Amen. Very true. Very true. Alrighty. Anybody have anything to share, Ed? Sister Sisti. Go ahead, Sister Sisti, you have the mic.
Hi, everyone. As Annabelle was speaking, a scripture came to my mind that the Lord just put on my heart, and I want to read a little bit of it. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it's basically Paul speaking to Timothy, of course, but it says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And quite often I think of this scripture for some reason, and one of the things I was discussing with a friend of mine the other day on the phone, she doesn't live here, we correspond by email, and we speak on the phone quite often, always about the things of the Lord. It's just, she's the only Christian friend I really have, apart from you guys, that I've known for a long time. And I says, you know, we allow sometimes our family members to entangle us. I says, and I can't do that anymore. I told her, because she's got a situation that is far worse than anything I've ever seen, unfortunately for her. But we cannot. And Dan, tonight you've brought home something that really clicked with me in an area that I can't go into because it'll take forever. But the one thing that I think about is this entanglement. And you're absolutely right. And I received your word tonight, and the word from Brother Brian and Brother Joey. Absolutely receive it, and I pray the Lord will strengthen me and help me, and that I may walk in it, because I need to walk in it day by day, moment by moment. You're absolutely right. It's something that's deeply rooted, this, with children and grandchildren, all that stuff. I can share a little bit of a testimony with you guys. When I first had my first grandchild, you know, I just adored this little girl. I mean, the first grandchild, you know. And you know, the Lord back then, and I'm talking about some years now, I'm talking about 15 years ago, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, put his finger right on that in my heart. And he showed me that what I was experiencing was nothing more than an idolatry for this little girl. I repented before the Lord. I never thought that was an idolatrous, you know, act on my part, in the way I just adored this little kid. The Lord took that from me. I can honestly say that before him and before you all. He took that from me, and I told the Lord, I don't want ever to experience that again. And I have 6 now, and I tell you right now, I will not put them before the Lord. I just can't. And I don't want to be entangled with anything that's going to hinder my walk with him. And it's a daily thing. It's a daily battle, And that's why I thank you all for praying for me. I really do appreciate it. And I just was really, really ministered to tonight by all of you guys. You're wonderful. Thank you so much, Sister Annabelle. God bless you all.
Amen. Well, thanks for sharing, Sister Sissy. God bless you. Amen. Good for you. Okay, anybody else have anything to share? Anything to say or anything at all? Good to see you back, Caymans. How you doing? Lisa, welcome back. Okay, wait a minute. Got Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa, you got the mic. Oops, wait a minute, let me read this. Sorry. You got the mic.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Good. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Dan. It was another good word this evening. And I just have a brief testimony. I hope I can get through it without losing it. But God began to teach me this word probably 7 or 8 years ago. It's something I was aware of, but he began to teach it to me in a way that had to become extremely real. And it was to prepare me for some of the things that I was going to be going through. I understand family idolatry, but I just want to share another side of it. A lot of you don't know my testimony, and maybe someday I can give you some bits and pieces of it. But one thing is that I was married for very many years, for 25 years. And the Lord brought a sword to my marriage. I didn't end it, but the Lord did. And so before he could ever do that, he had to bring me to a place where I realized that God does separate husbands and wives. And he will separate sons and daughters, and he will separate family. The most important thing to him is our relationship with him, our individual relationship. And he will not allow anyone or anything to stand between who I am, how I live my life, and my relationship with him. It must be paramount in my life. When I was 40, which would be about 13 years now, God brought me to Pentecost. I was in a denomination that didn't really teach that, but I was having a great difficulty in my marriage, and I prayed one day, you know, Father, I feel like I can't keep this up. I have the Lord. I'm saved, but there's something, I need something else to keep this up. And so God brought me into Pentecost. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it enabled me to continue in what was a very difficult marriage. I had a desire to do that because I believe with all my heart that it was right to remain married no matter what. And that it would be dishonoring to God if I were ever to leave my husband or divorce, and that it would be a terrible testimony and it would be a complete failure. So one of the things that I really want to share is that, of course, as you're listening, you know from what Brother Dan just taught that a lot of those thoughts I had were false. They were not the truth. And so for me, God had to remove a false teaching and a false doctrine. And that even though my desire was to please God, I was wrong in the area of understanding that there may be a time when God severs the marriage relationship so that you can go on to perfection and so that you do not lose your salvation. And also so that maybe if you weren't to lose your salvation, that you might just hinder your walk and make you a crippled for the rest of your spiritual life. We moved to Alaska, and things got more and more difficult, and I was trying to go on with the Lord, and my husband was appearing to be going on with the Lord, but he was going a different way. And one day, I was so burdened with this, I believe the Holy Spirit led me to pray this. I was in my living room, and I said, Lord, I have been doing this for so long, and it's so hard. and I want so much to serve you. But this is such a hindering relationship. And there was lots of times that I failed. And I thought, I could do this forever, Father. If this is your will, I will do this forever. But if this is not your will, if this relationship, this covenant I made, is hindering my growth with you and my walk with you, if it's preventing me from becoming all that you have called me to be, then would you please release me from this covenant? I had never prayed that before. It never even occurred to me to pray that, because in my heart I would have thought I was sinning to pray that. But I know that the Lord led me to pray that. It was shortly after that that my husband got very ill. He contracted something called cellulitis, and it was a very bad infection. And by the time he went to the doctor, we actually thought he might even lose his leg. And the Lord showed me that he actually brought that on him, and it was a way to cause Glenn to repent, but he did not. And then it was very shortly after that, I would say 3 or 4 months from the day I prayed that, he came to me and he said, you know, I just don't want to be married anymore. I want to end this marriage. And, you know, of course, those words are always hard to hear in the natural, but truthfully, God had so prepared my heart that it was really almost a release and a relief. And several years before that, God had shown me that I was to go back to work. Of course, I didn't. When he showed me that, I had no idea the reason why would be because I would be taking care of the 4 kids financially also. But I just wanted to share that part of my testimony for those of you who are listening, because there is sometimes, it may not be that you're just trying to be rebellious, and it may not be that you are trying to make family an idolatry, but it may very well be that you have been nursed on false doctrine that is preventing you from really hearing what the Lord is saying. And God was preparing me. He gave me lots of words. All those scriptures that Brother Dan read tonight, he showed me. And I would hear them, and I would know what he was telling me, and I would go back to the word, because I knew that when I got to it, that I had to get to a place that I knew with my whole heart that I was hearing God. I didn't want to hear man. I didn't want to hear any spiritual leaders. I wanted to hear the Lord. I wanted to hear the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to obey him. And so God had to show me. He had to show me that we have made a huge, huge idol out of family and the church. We have ministries named after it, focused on the family. We have taught the body of Christ that the family is literally practically replacing Jesus, that we need to show the family to the world and the world will be saved. That is a lie. The family will not save the world. The family didn't die and shed its blood for the world. Jesus died and shed his blood for the world. And he is the only answer for what is ailing us. And there's more to my testimony, but I'll just leave it at that, because God just began to show me with my children some things that I was going to be heading into. And so as you're listening this evening, just really take to heart the message that Brother Dan taught, and search your own hearts and go to God. God will have no other gods before him, not a husband, not a wife, not a child, not a church, not a denomination, not a job, nothing. And if we want to go on with him, we have to be willing to count the cost and to lose all things to gain the prize.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. That is a good, very good testimony, very good word. Thanks for pressing through. Amen. Hey, Brian has something to share.
Hey, it's me again. Lisa, that was I know that was a hard testimony, but that's powerful. And if I might, I wanted to share a little bit of something that the Lord gave me. Look, I don't pretend to be strong or in any better place than anybody, or that the Lord has favor. He definitely doesn't. He's not a respecter of persons. He just gives us the strength that we need to go through these things as he leads. You know, and the Lord doesn't call everybody to have to leave their family, but if he calls, if he tells us we need to forsake that family, then we better listen. Because the consequences of choosing them as a god over him, it's pretty scary to think about what those consequences could be. One of the things, Lisa, you were talking about that the Lord started to show you long before you had to start forsaking family members and understanding that they cannot be idols. The Lord did the same with me, and one of the verses that he gave me in that is in Mark chapter 10 and verse 9. It's real simple, and the church uses this all the time, but they misuse it. And it says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." But what the church doesn't tell you is that that verse does not say, "Let not God put asunder what man hath joined together." Or, "Let not God put asunder what Satan hath joined together."
Amen.
Because Satan, just like I said last week, Satan knows years in advance. And he will set these things up as stumbling blocks in our lives so that we do not attain the high calling, or so that we even walk completely out of, or keep us from, in total. He wants us with him in the sides of the pit. In the verse right before that, in verse 7, Jesus quoted Adam. And he said, "For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh." As the Lord was telling me that I had to put my family down, my wife down. I've loved my wife very much, but my wife rejected every single time that the Lord called to her. And because her mother would not put down her son, my brother-in-law, she walked willingly right out of the kingdom of God. And so God's put her, given her exactly what she wanted. She'll live in idolatry for the rest of her life under an Antichrist spirit. And she has spiritually murdered everybody around her that she comes into contact with. And had I not listened to the Lord by his grace and by his strength, I would have gone down with him. And I would have been just as wicked as that woman is today, if not worse. And one of the things I remember crying out to the Lord about was how bad it hurt that he was telling me I needed to walk away from my wife. And again, this isn't a call that everybody has. It's not something that the Lord tells every person who's married that they have to do. But the Lord knows what tomorrow holds, and we don't. And he knows the condition of the hearts of the people that we're blinded by love too much to see. So I was crying out to the Lord one evening, and I told him, I said, "Lord, this hurts so bad." Jesus said it, Adam, or he quoted Adam, when he said that a man and a woman are one. A man and a woman who are married have become one. And I told the Lord, "Lord, you're taking half of me away. You're ripping half of me away from me. And it's painful." And the Lord gave me this scripture, and he really opened it up to me. And this one's back in Genesis. It's about Adam again. Again, where Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." But the two verses before that, in verse 21, chapter 2, verse 21, says that when God was making woman, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." Okay, look, what the Lord was telling me in this, and I think anybody who has to leave their family can take comfort in that, is if the Lord has to take this away from you, again, it's not for everybody, but if the Lord has to take it away from you, he's faithful to heal the wound that results from that separation. And that's really all I had to say tonight. That's just that's a word that the Lord spoke to me personally about my family situation. I wish it didn't have to be the way that it is. But God is good in all situations, even the ones that hurt us.
Amen. Thanks, Brian. Well, thank you again, Lisa, for giving that testimony. I know it was hard. God bless you for that. I'm sure it'll help somebody that's listening. Go ahead. You got the mic again.
Praise God. I've kind of pulled myself together. Thanks. Thanks for that last testimony. That was good. I wanted to just add my amen to that. Brother Dan knew this because I wrote him a letter, because one of the things I was struggling with was, you know, just am I doing the right thing? I actually eventually had to ask my husband to leave, because even though he said it, he never would leave. And he, for a long time, was sleeping on the couch in the home, and I just knew it wasn't a good thing. So God brought me to a place where that I could actually say, you know what, this is what you wanted, and you need to go now. And, you know, even the fact that he could bring me there was an amazing thing. This all took place around 2005. And I want you to know that God has been totally faithful. I love the Lord more today than I loved him yesterday. Every day I love him more, and every day I desire to follow him more. What appears to have been something that was for my destruction has actually been for my good. I do believe that my husband was truly saved. I believe that he made a conscious effort over the years to turn and go into the world. And we had a lot of struggles because I did not want to go that way. And I thank God for keeping me through all of that. He has been faithful, though. You know, the word tells us that there's joy in the morning, and there is joy in the morning, and there has been joy in the morning. My hurt has been healed. So I just want to say that to anyone who's going through anything, that he is faithful, and he will heal your pain, and he will make things better. And even as he's teaching me how to handle each of my children, he is faithful to heal my pain. And there's something about doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. When we do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, we will have a peace. And that peace and that truth and that obedience will completely set us free, even though it may be an uncomfortable thing. And so I just again want to encourage everybody to, as God shows you what to do. And as Brian said, I'm not telling anyone what to do. Everybody's situation is individual. Everybody must seek the Lord. But he does have an answer for each of us. He does have a direction for each of us. And he will show us everything we need to do step by step. I just thank all of you for your words of encouragement. Lord bless.
Thanks, Lisa. Amen. Amen. Did you want to read that, Brian? Brian came to the Bible and said in front of me and walked away. Like I'm supposed to know what he wants me to do with it. You want to read this? Go ahead. Whatever you want to do.
Just one scripture. Don't go away, Dan. Just one scripture.
Okay.
It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it says, you know, no, it doesn't matter what situation you're going through. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry.
All right. Sounds like a good benediction. Amen. Okay, brethren. Last call before we shut her down. Okay. Listen, y'all pray for Jim. He's going through a trial himself. And so y'all keep him in your prayers this week. That God keeps strengthening him because he's going through something now with his marriage. All right, so you keep in prayer, and we'll see you guys next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.